o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. And it begins... How long were you gone? 11 days? Something like that?
Yeah. Well, it depends on how you look at it. 9 days if you don't go past that dateline. It's 11 days if you did.
That is not how that works. And you know that. But
what makes it... Like, why did they pick that spot to be the dateline?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Jesse?
Okay.
What?
Well, I'm sorry. How's it my fault that I don't know the answer to it? You're the one who crossed it.
Yeah, I don't... I just... It seems so arbitrary that you just pick that spot and say, all right, here's a new day. This is how it works. I don't get it. That's all.
We'll do some research on the international dateline for you.
The line was chosen to be at this location so that there would be a set location where a new day technically began.
What a weird deal.
That doesn't answer anything.
That's got to be one of the worst explanations I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Sounds a little arbitrary.
So they just spun a globe and said, and stop, and here it is.
Yeah, I mean, why not it has just something pick to Topeka, Greenwich, Kansas?
Like, if it was Topeka, Kansas, that would make sense,
I'm
too.
I'm guessing that where it is on the map, they could go all the way up and down without it, like, hitting any
set. You think it's all water?
Country. Yeah, it's, like, all water except for maybe a couple of small territories in the South Pacific, so that... makes sense, I guess, why they would choose there.
Okay, well, let's talk about something else that is hard to understand. Do the Packers want Jaire Alexander or not? Do they want him or do they just want to try and get something for him? I would argue that this answer from Goody, who spoke earlier this morning at the NFL meetings with a group of beat writers, including Rob Domofsky and Wes Hodkowitz and a few others, I would say that this answer sounds to me like he just wants to get something for him and that he doesn't necessarily want him back. Tell me if you agree with that assessment. Here is Brian Gutekunst via our friend Rob Domofsky.
So John Thornton's his agent. We talk weekly about these things and working together on, you know, finding the best solution for everybody. Obviously, we invested a lot in Jaire, and we want to make sure that if he's not going to be on our football team helping us win games, that we get something, you know, back for that investment. So we'll see where it goes. But again, working with him weekly and trying to, you know, figure out what's best for both Jaire and the Packers.
I'm trying to think of a time where... Somewhat, yes, the birds in the background is always my favorite.
There.
I remember when I used to go to that event. That was nice. Tausch, I don't remember a lot of times where a guy was referenced as if he's not on our football team. Very rarely are you spoken about that way, even though there's a chance you might not be on the football team. That does not happen very often where the general manager refers to you and says, if he's not on our football team, we'd like to get something for him for the investment we've made in him. What does this tell you, if anything? Am I misreading this?
No, he's gone. He's not going to be on this team. And if, you know, there is no money that will dictate what the, you know, there's not a roster bonus deadline. There's none of that that usually triggers the release, the trade, whatever it's going to look like. And I think Brian Gutekunst, they've managed the cap well enough that they are in no rush. And maybe Jaire and his team are asking and wanting, you know, certain things. And at some point, Green Bay wants to get at least a little something back. I thought it was going to be a stretch to get that, whether it's a conditional, whether it maybe teams will be more likely to do something if they can conditionalize it after this year's draft. And figure out maybe it'll work into next year's. I don't necessarily know exactly, but it definitely sounds like the Green Bay Packers are going to move on. And they're just going to move on in the way that is best for them, not for Jaire and his team. And they're trying to figure out what that might look like. I don't know if that means Jaire needs to, you know, restructure a deal. I don't know what exactly those conversations are other than, hey, if the Browns give us a sixth-round pick, are you willing to negotiate and get a deal that the Browns feel good about? it could be a number of things, but none of what Brian said right there would make me think that he's going to be back with the Green Bay Packers in the 2025 season.
He subsequently said that they have some time. He would like to have a resolution before the draft, which is less than a month away. And on the idea of him remaining a Packer, it could be a possibility, absolutely. So it absolutely could be a possibility that he remains a Packer. I'm sorry, I'm not seeing it. I just talk about players that you might be keeping in this manner, and that I think is the reality. If and when he does move on, remember we talked about this so long ago that you were still on the show, you had not vacationed yet. The varying opinions on what he is worth. I subsequently had another NFL executive get back to me who said they're just going to have to release him. No one's going to give up a pick for him.
Schneider.
I'm not divulging any of them. There were multiple people. There were not just one. There were four now total.
Zoe. Was it Zoe?
So if they just end up releasing him.
Wasn't that always going to be the case? Because there's nobody. Somebody might trade for him, but they're going to want to redo his deal. And the Packers have not been very poker-ish about their intentions of what they're going to do. So I just think, you know, you see what other guys are getting traded for and where that stands. Jair has not been able to stay healthy and play. Mm-hmm. Whether somebody would take a flyer or not, I thought maybe you could get a late pick when whoever you were talking to was saying third or fourth round pick. I thought that was just crazy talk.
Yeah,
I think that's going to end up being the case. So the idea that, boy, it would still be awesome. Green Bay hasn't made any monster moves. They got Hobbs. I keep forgetting. It's been a while. Is it Hobbs? Dobbs.
Steve
Hobbs.
Jobs.
Mecole Hardman.
They're kind of snobs.
Well, so Hobbs comes in, and that I don't think is all of a sudden, well, this is everything's set. You're still going to add people with the draft. And I think there's this hope that everybody has this epiphany that, hey, nobody really wants you. Nobody is going to give you the opportunities that we right here in Green Bay have. Let's figure something out. It doesn't feel like an epiphany is coming.
No.
And that's unfortunate. But I think the epiphany happened with the Jeff Hafley hire. And unfortunately, it wasn't epiphanized to the degree that everybody felt good about, and that's why you move forward.
All right, there's a few other things that Goody has said. Our friend Rob Domofsky has already sent me his portion of the transcript, so thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. We'll see what else he had to say when that comes through. But there's a couple of other clips circulating on Twitter, a couple from Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. About where the defensive line stands, which Goody says something interesting there, and then this tush-push stuff as well. So we'll get to all of that as we roll on. It is also Brewers opening day. At some juncture, even though you and
nice
I...
You're that roof.
You're an NBA guy. Yes, they do. And that's a very nice accoutrement, especially as someone who used to go to County Stadium for opening day every year. And it felt like it would snow just about every year and be bitterly cold. We'll get into a little bit of opening day stuff. We have programming throughout the day, us notwithstanding, leading into the Brewers home opener. And we are playing. We are going to have the play-by-play from your flagship, 620 WTMJ, across ESPN Wisconsin as well, so be sure to tune in for baseball later on today. But before that, we want to get to some more Packers-related topics that Goody discussed down at the owners' meetings. We'll get to those coming up. After, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong hour of the show. My fault.
Well, it is 12:18
You can tell us about whatever you want.
AM. 12:18 a.m. Tokyo time.
But I'll be honest, I'm not used to scrolling through and seeing a number of things that I'm reading as opposed to things that Tausch is reading.
Yeah.
And I was expecting something from him, but there isn't anything there. So guess what? I'll read something to you a little bit later in the program. We'll get to more of what Goody had to say. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Uptown funk you up, uptown funk you up, uptown funk you up, uptown funk you up. I said uptown funk you up, uptown funk you up, uptown.
Mark Tauscher is back from Japan. Brian Gutekunst is in Florida talking about the Green Bay Packers, talking about the tush push. We'll get to some of the other things he said via a few of the folks that are tweeting these out from Florida. I am curious, Tausch, and this was going on back while you were still stateside, and that's the tush push. And we'll hear from Goody and the reasoning behind the Packers putting that forth. But I feel like this has been maybe, I don't want to say misinterpreted, because you could say whatever you want. If it wasn't effective, I don't think there would be a push to ban the tush push. But I do think it's important to remember that Mark Murphy not only is trial balloon guy before he steps into retirement, but he's not an owner. And so the Packers being the bad guys, if you want to look at it that way, of being the ones that brought this as an actual proposal makes sense, because it doesn't create all these billionaires that get in a room. Because I went to the NFL meetings for 20 years. Maybe someday I'll get to go back. But it's a lot of big ego rich people, like rich people who aren't used to having people push back on them on things. And I'm guessing that Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, if this was Jerry Jones or John Mara, one of the fellow owners in the NFC East that brought this forth, I'm guessing there could be some heated exchanges. There have been, according to Kalen Kaler, already heated exchanges in the meetings down there about this proposal. And for Mark Murphy, this is his last time even going. So they can be as pissed as they want to be at him. And then he can leave. What do you make of how this has played out to this point?
So I think there's obviously teams that it doesn't benefit that aren't going to like it. But kind of what you said, you don't want to kind of put your name on that as being, well, stop it or do something about it. My point was on this whole thing, I have never been one where, you know what, if you're going to run something and people can't stop it, shame on them. And that's why for college football, the overtime rule, I've always thought that was good. Or the NFL, you know, you need to be a well-balanced team to win a championship. Bah, 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 bah. Philadelphia is really good at this. I think Green Bay could be. I think that's, you know, I think you're looking at when you bring Banks in, how physical and big. The reason Philly, they all think it's Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they also have their interior part of their O-line is very physical and roots people out. But the turning point has to be, and I said this 100 times after the NFC Championship game, You can't have an official go on air and say, we are going to award a team a touchdown if this continues. You can't do it. And that's what the tush push has gotten. You're going to get desperate. And yes, there's no injury data yet to show that this play is more dangerous than others. It is. I can tell you it is. But I heard Tim Hasselbeck on ESPN this morning kind of get into, well, there's a lot of things, short yardage and all this other stuff, and that's fair. But you can limit some of the things, and it's taken me a while to kind of get out of the former player mentality of, well, stop them or do this, into the entertain me mode of where I'm at in my life and most fans and everybody else. This is where you've been for a long time. This is not entertaining. It's not. And you see more of it as this goes when it gets to be fourth and at 3 inches or fourth and a foot, whatever it might be. When you can have officials get up there and say, we are going to award you a touchdown.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And all of the other stuff, that right there should be eye-opening. And if I'm Mark Murphy and I really care about getting rid of this, and I think he does, get up and just play that tape 1,000 times and say, what are you going to tell Las Vegas? What are you going to tell your fans? What are you going to tell all of our gambling partners about doing this? You can't have it. And instead of sitting there and waiting for some big event to occur and all of a sudden millions and billions of dollars switch hands because Gene Steratore says, well, that's going to be awarded a touchdown because these guys keep jumping off sides. I don't think that's the look the NFL wants, and I'm kind of imploring them to be proactive. You can still quarterback sneak. You can still do what you want, but you can't barrel in 15 dudes and say, let's shove here and try to get a first down. I think that needs to go, and you can still emphasize quarterback sneaks and doing the things that will make it, you know, you can still attain the goal of getting the first down without putting it in this position where you're going to have big, bad problems come down the road.
Look, I want to give Matt LaFleur and the Packers a bunch of credit, not for bringing this as a rule proposal change, but for thinking outside the box themselves with how they want to handle these types of plays. They don't want to get their $55 million a year quarterback injured. So they motion Tucker Kraft, a high school 9-man or 8-man football quarterback, under center. He takes the snap. He's a big, burly dude. You get good push from your interior offensive lineman, and he picks up the first down. He was 6-for-6 doing this, and he didn't have Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love behind him pushing his little tushy, which is not so little. He just did it on his own. So I think there's an argument to be made to say, look, there are other ways to do this, but they still have some of the same dangers, right, of going low with the blocking and whatever else. You're not going to eliminate that.
Never am I going to say you can't quarterback sneak.
Right.
That should be in play, but you've already, and I feel like we've litigated, relitigated, and now are going to relitigate the relitigation of this. You've banned pushing defensive linemen on special on field goal blocks.
Right.
Do you want to get to the point where you're going to say, bring in all these big D tackles and just have a show? You're going to turn it into a rugby scrum in the middle of these plays. Is that aesthetically something that the NFL wants to continue to go down? I don't know. I would think not, but usually these things will work themselves out. But all I would do for everybody that is advocating for Mark Murphy's resolution, continue to play that official getting on microphone on air in an NFC championship game. Imagine if it's a 3-point game and Philadelphia is behind. And all of a sudden, Washington jumps offside 7 times, and they award them a touchdown.
Right.
And Philadelphia wins by 4, going to the Super Bowl on an awarded touchdown because of this. Can you imagine what Monday morning is going to look like on every media, radio, whatever? Like, is that what you want? And just go to everybody outside of Sirianni and the Eagles, because they should be up on their podium saying what they're saying. Just say, is this what you want? Is this what you want? Because this is where it's going.
And look, I give credit to Dan Quinn and the Commanders because they had nothing to lose, right? The ball was moving like a centimeter at a time. Jump the snap, maybe you get lucky. And if they penalize you half the distance and it's a centimeter at a time, then maybe one of the times they're going to fumble the snap.
Or a false start and they lose 5 yards.
Right, exactly.
The other
way. I have no problem.
Analytics would tell you jump the snap every time, and if you're wrong, A, they might miss it, but B, who gives a rip? So, yes, it's different on a 4th and inches at 50-yard line, but when you get down there, you have no penalty to just keep doing it.
Correct.
And then if an official jumps in and does that, and just wait. I mean, it would be bedlam on top of bedlam if that's what happens.
All right, we'll hear a few of the other things that Goody had to say down at the NFL meetings. I am very curious too about something that he said. I think it was Ryan Wood from the Green Bay Press Gazette who posted it about their defensive line group and how they have everything they need to be productive and successful. We'll see if Tausch agrees with that. We'll see if
we can almost book that edge rushers getting drafted at the 23 spot. Then,
well, if an edge rusher is drafted at the 23 spot, you could be there in person when it happens, thanks to Verizon. Verizon is giving you the chance to win the ultimate draft experience with the Road to the Draft sweepstakes. 10 lucky winners will win tickets to the first day of the 2025 NFL Draft right here in Green Bay, including round-trip car service from Milwaukee, hotel accommodations, plus access to the Verizon viewing zone where you'll be taken care of like a first-round pick. Don't miss your chance to win the ultimate draft experience powered by Verizon. Here's what you got to do. You got to get into one of the participating select Wisconsin Verizon locations, and you got to enter by April 13th, which gives you, I think, 2 weeks from today to get your entry in. There's no purchase necessary to enter. You must be a legal U.S. resident of Wisconsin or Illinois, and you must be 21 years old or older to enter. Void where prohibited. These official rules and full details can be found at ESPNWisconsinContests.com. We'll get into the Packers' defensive line having everything they need, or do they? Coming up, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Because I'm a hazard to
Tausch will deliver some of his Japan vacation tips as a public service. So if you're in the YouTube comments, Chris and others who are curious for your suggestions, also retired Navy fella, I could recommend things, but those were sailor things back in the day. So Tausch went with his family, slightly different. I do want to play this, and thanks to Ryan Wood of the Press Gazette for posting this on Twitter. These are not press conference quality audio clips.
I don't know if I'm the only one that notices this. Nobody does more press conferences in non-press conference settings than the Green Bay Packers. Like Goody last year when he was talking about the team going to Brazil, and this one this year at the NFL owners meetings, and there's rant like the tailgate tour impromptu deal that you go to sometimes before Mark Murphy gets on the bus. Like, I feel like all these other teams do formal microphone in front of face, like easy to hear press conferences, and the Packers are always like, let's go under this tree.
No, Jesse, these are writers taking video. Like, if you look, there are TV stations or TV crews that are there, and they have the microphone that they're holding close to Goody. If you take a video, and again, I'm not complaining about Domofsky or Matt Schneidman or Ryan Wood taking video because I'm not there to give you this, so we appreciate that. But it's just them doing it on their iPhones. Like, it's not like high-tech.
I'm signing us two to go next year. I'll be your on-site engineer, tailing you around. You ask the questions. I'll have a little switchy thing that we can put in front of them, and we can actually get some high-quality sound from these things.
So in the precursor to Wilde and Tausch, Green and Gold Today, which you could listen to way back in the day, I did go, and it was at the Breakers in Palm Beach. And back then, Nolan, one of our great teammates, who's now on the marketing side, was working for our West Palm Beach affiliate. He was there. He was that guy for me. Like, he was doing all the technical stuff. And he worked a lot harder and complained a lot less than you do when we're on site. So that was great.
So where are we going next year? Arizona?
I think we go west next.
Listen, this is not a shot at anybody, but Jason ain't going anywhere. What are we doing? Like, we're done trying to coerce Jason into going places. Like, that's just not going to happen. So if he's not going to go down to Florida with his family, he's not going to go down to West Palm to chase Goody around for 15 minutes under some tree with birds chirping. It's ain't going to happen. So, Jesse, I don't know why you did this.
I did this for 20 years. I have been to the NFL.
But it's over now.
Meetings every year. Yeah. Virginia McCaskey held a little baby
You
baddie.
Did a lot of things 20 years ago. You don't do now.
Well, that was
it's all right. It's just not where you're at.
No, I will say this, and we were I'm not here to put your business on the street at all.
Look at that.
Yeah, it was a good-looking fella back then. It's a great jacket too. I was at the state gymnastics championships on Saturday, and I would have been traveling to Florida instead for these meetings. And I got to—I mean, I was a nervous wreck, but it was great, and it was a great moment. And I don't want to miss that kind of stuff because sooner or later the girls are going to be off at college.
Nobody's saying you should.
Well, I would have had
Jesse
gone down to
stop.
Florida.
I'm just telling Jesse to stop asking. It's like, you know what? At some point, I'm not going to ask you to golf.
Well, let's just send Jesse.
200.
How about we just send Jesse?
No, I don't think
I'll be Domofsky's assistant for the week.
That way we get the content. You can make sure that the quality of audio is up to your standards. And we can have somebody that we like producing the show better producing the show.
Hey, Goody.
Riley.
Let's go talk over here in this building, in this room, instead of by the semi-truck that's gearing up to take off over here, huh?
Well, it's a bus. But, yeah. Look, again, I understand that you have standards that you feel are important. The bottom line is that we are just happy to have the audio that we have to work with here from the NFL meetings. And I want to play this clip of Goody talking about the defensive line and how they've got everything they need and see if Tausch agrees with the Packers GM. Listen closely because it's
if
not
you can hear
ideal
it.
Audio. But if someone with those types of skills could enhance it, we would appreciate it, Jesse. Here we go.
I think we can do everything we need to do through the players we have on our roster right now because I think there's a significant amount of improvement for those guys, not only in year two of the scheme, but just I think individually as well. So we've invested in that quite a bit already, and I'm excited to see the growth that those guys will have. If the draft happens to bring us some more ammunition in that category, great. But I don't think it's something that's necessarily after chase.
So he's expecting a big jump in year two of the system. We have everything we need. Is that true? Do they have everything they need? They've invested 4 first-round picks in Devontae Wyatt, Kenny Clark, LVN, and Rashawn Gary. So they've certainly invested everything they have into that group. Do they have everything they need?
Well, last year they didn't. And it was year one of Jeff Hafley's system. So I do expect that to take a jump. And I still think with the versatility that you have at the linebacker spot and potentially at the edge, Lucas Van Ness to me will be the key to that. And I know you're probably thinking, well, if you're banking on Lucas Van Ness, trouble's brewing. And you can feel that way, and I'm all right with that too because – he did not have that monster jump, but you have first-round picks. You, again, and we've said this a million times, first-round picks have to prove over and over and over again that they can't play seventh-round picks, undrafted guys. It's the opposite. But the Hafley defense, and I think Edgerrin Cooper is going to be a key to this whole thing. You got Quay. If you can get him and Edgerrin Cooper out there together in those passing situations, and you can really vary what you're doing, that will give opportunities to these other guys to win up front. But the big question mark coming into this offseason was, outside of receiver and corner, can you get home with four versus good football teams? The answer last year was no. Now, I thought Hafley did a good job in certain respects of, you know, showing certain things and simulating things and getting some pressure against bad teams and bad offensive lines. Not so much against the Minnesotas and the Detroits and the Phillies. And this defense needs to get better winning one-on-ones when the money's on the table. They didn't do that. Rashawn Gary, he needs to be better. All of Kenny Clark, all of these guys, but I think there's two players that Goody is kind of banking on, and that's Wyatt and that's Lucas Van Ness. And if those two don't take that jump, I'm not sure what difference you're going to see from that front four, quote-unquote, winning one-on-ones. It has to be those two guys, because I think at this point we know Rashawn Gary, we know what Kenny Clark does, we have ideas on Enik Barre and Cox and all these other guys, but it's going to come down to, are your first-round picks going to elevate and be guys that are difference makers? If they're not, I'm not sure what Goody is thinking.
Well, I want to explore a little bit more your thoughts on LVN, because I thought your insight on him when they first drafted him was really good, and then you also thought, okay, he's going to have to develop more beyond his strong, like, bull pass rushing moves. And having blocked plenty of guys in your day, I thought that that was really important, and I haven't seen that happen. So I want to get into that coming up and get your thoughts on how confident you are in that possibly, actually, perhaps happening. Before we can do that, though, get your dialing fingers ready. We got another giveaway with the draft coming right around the corner. Jesse's standing by, much like he was for our Thanalysis ticket giveaway, which, by the way, by all accounts, Thanalysis was super fun and had a great time. Giannis got there after apparently his wife gave birth shortly earlier in the day or something, from what I understand. So this will be fun as well. It's the ESPN Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It's going to be right here in Green Bay for the draft on April 23rd. Field Yates, Daniel Dopp, Mike Clay, Liz Loza, and Stefania Bell are coming to do a live show at the Tundra Trio. And ESPN Wisconsin wants to send you and a friend up to Green Bay to see the show happen live. So right now, caller number 11. Caller 11. At 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, caller 11 gets two tickets to ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Live at the Tundra Trio. See the show up close, meet all the hosts, get complimentary food and beverages, and the Fantasy Football the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast merchandise. That's caller number 11 right now, 844-770-3776. Visit ESPNWisconsinContest.com for full details. We'll get into LVN a little bit more next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
It was successful, but also disappointing. That's just what this season was. I don't think any of us went into this season going, they're going to be a three seed. They're going to be really good this year. They're going to be competing for a Big Ten championship again.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
You have a winner for the tickets to see ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Podcast at the Tundra Trio?
We do. It was a very coveted prize. Phone line lit up right away. Congratulations to John in Sun Prairie, who is our first winner for that contest, heading to the fantasy focused podcast in Green Bay in late April. I think we'll be picking some more winners throughout the course of this week, so stay tuned if you still want a chance to win. John was actually caller 12. Caller 11 did not want the tickets to the podcast, but he did want to say that we should stop calling Lucas Van Ness LVN because he's not good enough to warrant a nickname that sounds cool.
Wow.
Good timing on calling in to share that with us. Thank you, whoever you were, caller 11. Congrats, John, caller 12. Kind of like we crossed the international caller dateline to get to who we needed for the Fantasy Focus podcast contest winner.
We will delve into whether he's deserving of a nickname and whether he will make the jump when we kick off the 11 o'clock hour. We can't do that, though, until Tausch tells us about his love of Coors Light, which I think inquiring minds want to know. Among the important aspects of your trip to, were you in Tokyo?
Yeah, a little Tokyo, a little Hiroshima, a little Kyoto.
Were there any?
Japan is bigger than I thought, too. You know, I told you when we were we went to Australia, I thought everything was, because, you know, again, if you don't live there, you see it on a globe and you're like, oh, that's not that big.
You look at a lot of globes, do you?
Big globe guy. Big globe.
But you just discovered the international dateline, which, by the way, I have some answers on.
Oh, good. We can get to those at 11 o'clock hour. Do they have Coors Light in Japan?
I did not see Coors Light in Japan. There's different brands that I'm not going to get into, obviously.
I understand, yes.
The one
sure.
big uh-huh. one. I missed it. So that will be on my to-do list this week. Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978. Not Mount Fuji, but in the Rocky Mountains. Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp. It is only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right. During the 11 o'clock hour, we'll discuss LVN. I'm sorry, Lucas Van Ness, undeserving of initials. We will get Tausch's travel tips if you're planning a trip to Japan. What are the must do or must not do, must avoid? What kind of preparation he wishes he would have done for the time change that he endured of 14 hours.
There's no preparation to account for that. It's like going through an NFL season. You have to go through training camp. You have to go do it. If you're going to go on a trip, you can't go to training camp. What am I supposed to do? Stay up? And, like, that's crazy talk. That's just crazy talk.
Well, some might say preparation. Some might say crazy talk. And we will get definitive answers on why the international dateline is where it is. That's all ahead in the 11 o'clock hour, so stick around. It'll actually start somewhat on time. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.